We're doing the Ramban, Nachmanides, the Drasha, the Ramban speech, Torah Hashem Tmimah. It's entitled, Torah, Hashem's Torah is Whole. The Ramban begins, we're in Kitvei HaRamban, the Mosad Rav Kook edition, the first volume. There are two volumes of Kitvei HaRamban, the Ramban's writings. And we're holding page Kuf Mem Aleph, 141. Over there the speech begins. Drasha Torah Hashem Tmimah, the speech about the verse that God's Torah is whole. Ktiv, it says, Torah Hashem Tmima, the verse says in Tehillim, Hashem's Torah is whole, Meshivat Nafesh. It gives back one soul, Edut Hashem, God's testimony, Ne'emana, is trustworthy, Machkimat Peti, it enlightens the fool. Achal Shamar, now this verse, we have to recognize where it's situated in Tehillim. That paragraph in Tehillim discusses, Hashamayim Mesaprim Kevod Kel. The heavens recount God's honor. So after he discusses how the heavens show off God's honor, you look at the heavens, you look at the stars, you look at the sky, you can recognize that God's running the world. So after he's discussed how one can look at nature and see that God's running the world, Chazal upiresh b'shivcha shel Torah. David HaMelech returned to explain the praise of the Torah. Ve'amar shehi mesaperet b'shivcha shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and David HaMelech says that the Torah recounts God's praise, yotel min hashamayim, more than the heavens would, umin hashemesh, and more than the sun, va'erach va'kochavim, and the moon and the stars, hamuzkarim lemala b'tchilat ha'mizmor, that are mentioned earlier in that song, in that chapter of praise. So David HaMelech recounts in the beginning of the chapter how if you look at the sun, if you look at the moon, if you look at the constellations, you start looking at nature, you could recognize that God is running the world. And after he discusses how the great things in nature point out to us that God is running the world, he concludes by saying, but you should know the Torah is more of a proof that God is running the world. So the Ramban says, and how do we understand this? David began the paragraph by saying, the heavens recount God's honor. For we see the constellations as constants. Every morning you see the sun rise, you see it set, you see the moon, the stars, they all seem to be constant. And anything that you see constantly moving, you have to assume that there's something that's making it move. Right? You know the story of Avraham Avinu. The Midrash says, Avraham Avinu said, if you're walking through the forest, and you happen upon a house in the forest, and you see a candle lit in the house in the forest, so you don't say, well, I guess God created a house with a candle and the candle's lit. You say, no, I guess there's someone living in this house. I guess someone lit that candle. There's someone here that did all this. So to Avraham said, you see a world. You see there's a sun. You see every morning the sun gives us light, gives us heat. Someone made this sun. It's no different than the candle when you happen upon a house and you see a candle lit and you say someone lit that candle. So by the same token, says the Ramban, you see the movements of the constellations. You see everything moving. You recognize someone's making all this move. Yodu Hashamayim al kavod kel. So the heavens, they point out the honor of God, klomar sheyesh Eloah, meaning the heavens point out to us that there is a potent being, baal koach, manhig otam bikoach uve'eluto, that he is the one that guides them with his strength and with his potency. Al ken amar, that's why David Amar says, the heavens point out, kevod el, the honor of the potent one, the powerful one. Kmo yesh le'el yadi, just as Lavan says, I have power, el means power. So when you look at the heavens, you recognize that there's a power that be. There is a power that made these things move.
Just impulse.
Right. What do you want to say? That's what you want to say?
Yes, it was custom in Siberia that forest worker left small houses left for anyone who traveling or walking. He go by taiga by this forest and. And find this house, so God left for us this world.
Ah, okay. So David HaMelech begins a Shemayim. Shemayim is one level, that's the constellations that move in the sky. They recount the honor of the potent one. Umaaseh Yadav Magid HaRakia. And the Rakia speaks about God's handiwork. Says the Ramban, HaRakia HaGalgal HaElyon HaOlech Mimzach HaMarav Hefech Tnuat HaAchirim. Rakia is the upper, call it Galgal, literally means wheel, it means the cycle that goes from east to west, opposite the other cycles. I don't know exactly what the Ramban is referring to. Magid ma'asei yadav shehem anivraim. That recounts how God's handiwork, everything that's created. And this is a clear proof that even the philosophers have logically deduced. I don't know which proof he's referring to here. We'll continue, because I don't think it's so important. And after he finishes pointing out that the heavens and the sun and all the other things, you just look at them without their talking, you see that they traverse all of earth and no one can hide from the heat of the sun. When you look at the way God created the world, that in and of itself points out that Hashem is the one that created the world and runs it. After saying that all these natural things point to this, Amar, then David Amar said, Torah Hashem tmima meshivat nefesh. God's Torah is complete, that's what will bring back one's nefesh. Klomar, she'elu ra'yot burot lechvod ha'el. These are clear proofs in honor of the potent one, v'chihem ma'asei yadav hakol, and they were all fashioned by God. Torat Hashem shlema yoter mizeh, but God's Torah is more whole than this. V'hi meshivat nefesh u'mechakim at peti, and the Torah is the one that will, so to speak, give us back our nefesh, enlighten the fool. Klomar, shemeaseret kol safek min halvavot min hachamim. The Torah is the one that can remove all doubt from one's heart, from the wise men. Umin she'inam mevinim ma'alchot shamayim ma'achei korachavim. Even those who don't understand the works of the heavens, you look at the stars, we don't understand what's so phenomenal about the stars. We don't understand what's so phenomenal about the constellations. We look at the stars and we say, yeah, it's impressive. We have a hard time deducing from that that God created the world. Says the Ramban, that's why David HaMelech ended off by saying, but the Torah, from the Torah everyone can understand. Even Machkimat Peti, even the fool, the one who doesn't understand the works of the stars, he too will be enlightened through the Torah. V'flig b'shevach ha-Torah b'mizmor zeh. And David HaMelech expanded with the praise of the Torah in this verse. V'tanya. So we have a Tanai quote. The Medrash says, Chizkiya Rabbi Yehuda says, Divrei Torah atara larosh, the words of Torah are like a crown to one's head, anak lagageret, like a necklace to the throat, melugma lelev, like medicine for the heart, kilorit la'ain, like bandaging for the eye, retia lamaka, like bandaging for a wound, kosikarin levnei me'ayim, a good drink to heal one's intestines, marpe laguf, it heals the body. So now we just bring verses to back all this up. Bear with me, guys. In a few minutes, it's going to pick up. The Ramban begins, he says, what does it mean? How is it a crown to the head? As the verse says, the Torah is going to be a crown of chen for one's head. Anak lagag eret, an ornament for the throat. Shneimals, the verse says, it's going to be an ornament for the throat. Melugma lelev, it heals the heart, as the verse says. Nesam chilev, the words of Torah make one's heart happy. Kilorit la'ayin, their bandage to the eye, as the verse says. Mirat inayim, the Torah gives light to one's eyes. Retia lamaka, a bandage for one's wound, as the verse says. Rifuti lesharecha, it's a healing for all of one's body. Kosikrin ivne me'ayim, it heals one's intestines, as the verse says. Veshikui la'atzmotecha, the Torah is a good drink that heals one's bones. Umarpe laguf, shenivlat be'omach, evarim sheba'adam, shnemar ulchol psaro marpe. It heals the whole body because Torah is absorbed in all our limbs. As the verse says, the Torah is a healant for all of one's flesh. And King David said furthermore, God, please uncover my eyes so I see the wondrous things of your Torah. And the other verse says, everything one works at, I've seen an end. But the mitzvahs, they're very wide. You guys know that. When guys come to the Machon, they say, I've studied this, I've studied that. At some point you feel like you've made it. In Torah, you can never feel like you've made it. The more you learn, the more you say, wow, there's still so much more to learn. And there are many verses like this in the prophets and in the writings. These verses teach us that the Torah is more precious, more honorable than anything else in the world. And you should know, you look at a wise person, you think he's master Torah. Says the Ramban, the prophets have taught us, as wise as a person is, he hasn't attained Torah. The Torah is elusive even to the wisest of men. Umikol anviim, and even all the prophets. V'tzachim anu lishol v'lefaresh ma'u ha'ikar v'akavod hazeh. So the Ramban says, what we're going to try to verify now is what's so special about the Torah. Why is it that we say the Torah is more precious, the Torah is more honorable than anything else? And we have to ask ourselves, what's this great wisdom that we're saying is hidden within the Torah? The Torah seems so simple. Even little kids, you see students, they come to school, they learn Bereshis, Shmos, Vayikra. It seems like everyone could learn Torah and understand it. Even the nations, what do? They translate it. You have Jastro, you have the Art Scroll, you have the translation of the Torah, and anyone could learn Torah. It seems simple. And furthermore, look at other nations. They have their laws. They have their traditions. It would seem that the other nations and their behaviors are similar to the Torah. So the Ramban says, we've just quoted many verses that seem to say the Torah is the greatest proof God created the world. The Torah is the most precious thing. It'll heal everything a person needs healing. And says the Ramban, what's so special about the Torah? That's the Ramban's beginning. That's our question that the Ramban is now going to contend with. Hatshuva. So the Ramban says the answer is, Tchilat kol davar yesh chaladat. Firstly, you have to know shekol ma shanivrim yodim u'mevinim kulam perot haTorah o perei perot shela. This is the concept we've discussed before. The Ramban says anything people know is a derivation or a derivation of a derivation of knowledge of the Torah. We once discussed the ripple effect, that if you drop a rock in a puddle, so you see ripples. You could see how one, the next, as it gets wider and wider, you have a harder time thinking that came from that rock. But really it did. And if it weren't so, that all knowledge, all truisms, are a derivation or a derivation of a derivation from the Torah, says the Ramban, there'd be no difference between the man and the donkey he rides on. Says the Ramban, so too you see today the nations that are very distant from the Torah and prophecy, those that live in the edges, you have people who live very distant from where we live, they don't know about God. No one here from Romania, right? Okay. They don't recognize that God created the world. They think the world was always the way it is. They don't think the world was it created, was not created. That doesn't interest them. And they don't even bother thinking, is the world running on its own or is someone making the world run? Just as King David said in this verse, וכמו שהוא בעלי עיון שלא שמעו התורה, כי אדם בתולדתו בלא מלמד כבהמה. Because if a person doesn't have someone to teach him, if a person is just born to the world, and he's left to his own intellect, so then he's going to be no different than an animal. שנאמר, as the verse says, ואיר פרא אדם יוולד. A man, when he's born a wild animal. That's what Eov said. ואם דעתו ושכלו של אדם בלא מלמד נותן לו לחשוב בחידוש לפי שאין הגלגל מנהיג, if a person without being taught is going to end up thinking there's no one really running the world, אלא זולתו מניע כמו שהזכרנו, אין אצלו מצווה ולא עבירה. So where's the person, what's the next step? If there's no creator, so then there's no action which can be deemed positive or negative. And that's where, by the way, modern philosophy is headed. You guys, I don't know if you're up to date, but it's there already for a long time. Modern philosophy says there's no action which you could say is positive or negative. It all depends on the time and the circumstance. At a certain time, you're going to say it's good to kill. At a certain time, you're going to say it's bad to kill. So is killing good or bad? When the Nazis are killing, so you say, yeah, I have to kill Nazis. But when they're not killing, so you say it's bad to kill. How can you define whether an action is positive or negative? So modern philosophy in the last, I think it's the last 20, 30 years, has really...
Since the Shoah?
Okay. Basically, the conclusion is what the Ramban says. If you don't have a tradition, if there's no one to teach you, this is good and this is bad. If man is left to his own intellect, then man has to come to the conclusion there is no action which is good or bad. And that means I could behave the way I want. That's what the Ramban began by saying. If we're not going to be taught, and if our teachings do not go back to the ultimate truth of the Torah, so then what's the difference between me and the animal I'm riding on? The animal does what it wants, and I'll do what I want. I might say, well, I want society to last, so there are certain behaviors which I'll adapt. I'll adapt myself to. I'll adapt myself to. because we need a society. I can't live on my own. I can't manufacture my own sweater, my own shirt, my own tie. I can't manufacture cars. I need to work with people. But in the end, I'm spending my life serving myself. It's not because there is any action which is positive or negative. The Ramban says, if we're not going to work based upon education, if we're not going to work with the Torah teaching me, no, there is bad, there is good, there is abominable, there are things which are disgusting. So then I'll say, what's the difference? Why is this disgusting and that not? You're eating an animal and I'm eating feces. What's wrong? You're eating an animal. You're more cruel than me. You're eating an animal. What's interesting, you and the animal? It has life, you have life. Plants have life. They grow. So how could you eat a plant? One person is going to say, don't eat an animal. The next person is going to say, don't eat a plant. Where do we end up? So we're all going to die? What do you mean? So I eat humans. If you eat animals, why can't I eat humans? You understand where everything can go? There's no limit. Because if we're left to our own intellect, how do you discern? One of the things the Torah teaches us is that man is not a non-kosher animal. Man is not an animal. We don't view man as an animal. I'm quoting the Rambam. When the Torah evaluates a kosher animal and a non-kosher animal, man doesn't enter the picture. We don't say, well, man doesn't have split hoof, so he's not kosher. We don't say that. We say man is man, and then there are animals. Within animals, you need to have split hoofs and chew your cud in order to be a kosher animal. Man has nothing to do with animal. Totally different being.
6 days of creation.
Right? Man wasn't part of the creation of animals. So the Ramban tells us, and this is the first point we're learning here with the Ramban's answer, when we say the Torah is whole, and we say that the Torah is so special, and it's the healant for all illnesses, the first thing we have to know is that man needs the Torah. If not for the Torah, then we're no different than an animal. Velodat velocheshbon. If a person is going to say, well, there's no creator, then there's no positive action and no negative action, and there's no one to hold us accountable for our actions either. It's a dog-eat-dog world. If might makes right. Because there's no one that's going to take me to task who's mightier than me. If I have the strength, I can do what I deem right. So the Ramban says, if we don't accept the concept that there's a creator, then we will not have a concept of right and wrong, and we will not have a concept of there ever being a payday. And then there's no action which a person can say is better than another action. Certainly all days are equal. There's no Shabbos. All years are equal. There's no Shemitah. Comes out that everything's equal just like the animal. The animal doesn't know a difference between Sunday to Shabbos. The animal doesn't know a difference between if it's eating a live person or it's eating an animal. The animal has no difference. All it knows is, this is what I want, this is what I'll do, this is what I could get away with, this is what I'll do. What? Okay. There were animals that were affected by men. But the way the Ramban is saying, the only way a person elevates himself above an animal is when he has the Torah, when he has recognition that Hashem created the world, and that Hashem told us this is positive, this is negative, and there will be a time where a person is brought to task for his behavior.
So, Ramban is saying, only by making Hashem the crown, by making Hashem the ultimate, the highest point of this hierarchy, is there any hierarchy at all? Otherwise, everything is equal.
Okay. In different words, yeah. It's interesting. I had a friend who had tremendous middos. He was one of the nicest people I knew. And he always doubted whether Judaism was real or not. So he spent many, many years studying all kinds of philosophies. And after studying and studying and studying and learning and learning and learning, he decided he's not convinced. So one day he met me and he said, that's it, I'm leaving. For your honor, he told me, out of respect for you, I'm wearing a kippah when we meet, but it's over. So I said to him, philosophically, we've discussed many times where we differ. But I want to ask you a different question. Do you really think you're going to be a kind person if you leave the Torah? Do you really think you're going to remain the person you are? Let's leave all the philosophical arguments, because we've had philosophical arguments, and I disagree with you, and I think you're letting your own preferences blind you from seeing what's right. But what type of person are you going to be a year from now? Where are you going to be going your route? So he told me, I'm a good person not because of the Torah. I'm a good person because I'm a good person, and it's not going to change. And we spent the next hour together, and within that hour I already saw that he wasn't as kind of person as he had been beforehand. And unfortunately since then it's been downhill. I don't know if he's still alive. I hope he didn't commit suicide, but very often you have to wonder. I mean, I could see even then that the second he took the yoke of the Torah off of him, he wasn't the same person. I mean, we went to a bookstore together. He took books off the shelf, he'd leave them lying all over, wouldn't bother putting them back. And this was a person who was one of the most caring people I knew, but a person who really, he would never, like, you take books in a bookstore, you start putting them in all kinds of wrong places, you're hurting people. But once you remove the responsibility of the fact that there's a creator who's going to take us to task, and he's told us we have to care for other people, there's a way to behave, it's very difficult for a person to remain a good person. It's not impossible, but it's difficult. The Ramban saying that logically the sequence that will follow is that there will be a vacuum and there will not be morality if there isn't the Torah. And says the Ramban, this is where the Ramban began, if we can bring us back to the first point, if you see positive things in the world, you should know it's a ripple effect from the Torah. We saw how the Rambam, Maimonides, discusses that the Torah views in a positive light the fact that the world has adopted Christianity and Islam, because it's moving the world forward, even though it's not the way we'd like them to be ideally, but it is moving the world forward. So the Ramban is telling us, if you see anything that's true, if you see anything that's positive, so you should know that it's a ripple effect. It's connected to the Torah. V'chashov b'libcha she'akadosh baruch hu bara kol ha'shva'im la'na'ato v'letashmisho shel ha'adam. Says the Ramban, think for yourself that God created all the things that God created, all the lower things in creation, for man's use and man's pleasure. She'en lanu tam b'yitzirat ba'alei chayim ha'shpalim v'atzmachim she'inam makirim et boram zulati zeh. Says the Ramban, there's no other logical reason why God would create the lower creatures, the lower life forms, the plants, that do not recognize their creator, unless it was for our benefit. God created them for us. Ubarat Adam, and God created man, sheyakir et boro yitbarach, so that man will recognize his creator, may he be blessed. Ve'im Adam eino yodea shebrao klal, and if man does not recognize that God created him at all, v'chol sheken sheino yodea sheyesh etzel boro ma'aseh nivchar v'nirtzeh u'ma'aseh acher mu'uchak v'nimas, and certainly if man does not recognize that there are actions that God deems positive and actions that God says are negative, that are disgraceful, nimtza ha'adam kabeima. Turns out man is like an animal. V'chavanat b'riyato b'teila. And then the whole intent of creation of man is undone. V'zeh ma she'amru chazal tamid, and that's what our sages always told us, she'ilu lo kiblu Yisrael ta Torah, haya machzir ha'olam letov avo. Our sages taught us that God said, If the Jews don't accept the Torah, I'm destroying the world. So you always ask yourself, why? The Ramban says this is the reason why. Because if we're not going to accept the Torah, then intrinsic to that is that we won't recognize our Creator, we won't recognize that there's a way of behavior that God wants, and then God says there's no point to the world. Klomar, shim lo hayu chafetzim ladat v'lilmod yediat boram, meaning if the Jews would not want to learn and to know their creator, v'sheyesh efresh lefanav ben tov l'ra, that there's a difference between before God between what's good and bad, nimtza shekavanat b'riyat ha'olam b'teila. Comes out that the purpose of the creation of the world is undone. The Ramban over here, if we think about it for a second, has taken on a major question, a question which it's virtually impossible to answer, and the Ramban in a few lines wants to answer it. The Ramban, one of the basic questions which we will not get an answer to is, why did God create the world? And we once had a long class discussing why it's impossible to get an answer to this question. If you want, we could begin the next class with that discussion. The Ramban tells us, from a philosophical perspective, we can understand that God created the world so that we will recognize Him, recognize that there are actions which He says are good and bad, and behave that way. If we don't do that, then the creation of the world was pointless. And that's why our sages said God made a condition. The world will last on the condition that the Jews accept the Torah. If they don't, the world will not last. Now, you guys understand that logic, there's a rule of logic. If A, then B. If not B, then if not B, then not A. But if not A, then that doesn't mean not B. Right? If A, then B. If not B, then not A. Right? If A, then B means that if not B, then not A. Right? Why not?
If A, then B can also mean if not A, then B.
But it doesn't have to mean that.
It doesn't have to mean that.
Right. It can mean that, but it doesn't necessarily mean that. So Hashem says, if the Jews accept the Torah, the world will be. So I could know that if the world isn't, then the Jews didn't accept the Torah. But I can't know, and that's where the Ramban is saying something which is not exactly a perfectly logical proof based on Chazal. The Chazal taught us, Hashem said, if the Jews accept the Torah, the world will be. Does that mean that if the Jews don't accept the Torah, then the world won't be? Hashem said, let's say it more accurately. If the Jews don't accept the Torah, then the world won't be. Right? If not A, then not B. Does that mean that if yes A, then yes B? Does that mean that the reason for B is A? The Ramban made that leap. But it's not necessarily 100% a logical leap. You guys with me? Hashem said, if the Jews don't accept the Torah, there won't be a world. So does that mean that the whole reason there's a world is for the Jews to accept the Torah? Not necessarily. But the Ramban, that's what the Ramban just said.
Well, so, yeah,
why does it mean? I could say the reason the world is here is so that reason A, reason B, and that the Jews will accept the Torah. If they don't accept the Torah, there won't be a world. If they do accept the Torah, there are still another two reasons that have to be there, right? I could say that. I didn't hear you. But it doesn't say that that's the only reason. It just says that that is one of the preconditions to the world. Meaning, we have a big question. Why did God create the world? We've discussed that whatever answer we give, we can really find fault in. But let's assume we can answer that question. Our sages revealed our eyes and they told us that God said if the Jews don't keep the Torah, there won't be a world. That means that God only created the world so the Jews will accept the Torah. Or maybe God created the world for many reasons. And God said there will be no world if there will be no Jews keeping the Torah. But maybe there are other reasons why God created the world. What the Ramban did was he took this statement of God, this statement of Chazal, that God said, if the Jews don't accept the Torah, there won't be a world. And he said, okay, logical conclusion, the whole purpose of the creation of the world was so the Jews will accept the Torah. That's not proven.
No.
Now, why is it important for me to point out the logical, I don't want to say flaw, but why this isn't logically necessarily so? Because in the next line, the Ramban is going to quote others who don't agree with him. And we're going to learn and we're going to see there are other explanations as to why God created the world. So we have to recognize, very often when Rishonim present us with philosophical concepts, they present it like a closed book. This is the way it is. You read the Maharal, he tells you, this is the way it is. You read the Ran, he tells you, this is the way it is. Now we read the Ramban takes on this huge philosophical question, why did God create the world? And he tells us, this is why. And he quotes a quote from Chazal. So firstly, who said everyone agrees with this quote in Chazal? Chazal themselves sometimes have arguments how to understand philosophical concepts. So just because the Ramban quoted someone doesn't mean necessarily all the Amoraim agree with it. And secondly, even what the Ramban quoted isn't necessarily 100% a foolproof proof if we're going to use laws of logic. And we're going to pick up here, Be'ezrat Hashem, next week with the Ibn Ezra that the Ramban is arguing with now.